Welcome back, everybody, to our third installment of the 7 Days of Derby series.
Boy, this is four.
Oh, yeah.
Four times.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Enter for the greater good. We need to smoke a joint and calm down.
Welcome back, everybody, to our fourth episode of the 7 Days of Derby.
Four times.
We are, after this, we're officially halfway through the week.
Hey, I'm glad you did the math, dude. I wasn't going to be able to.
So if you missed our other episodes, make sure to check them out. Some fascinating topics, some controversial topics, and
horses on steroids, man, like drunken celebrities.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen at the Derby. But today, for this episode, we wanted to talk about some of the culture surrounding Derby. So, you know, from food to drinks to fashion,
drunken celebrities.
Exactly. Found this kind of pretty cool Courier Journal article. I was really just looking up foods and stuff, but it kind of outlines a lot of things that have to do with the Derby. So, of course, the first thing it mentions is the mint julep. And apparently, the mint julep, I did not know, has been around since the 1770s. It's a pretty old drink. And even before then, the term julep is generally defined as a sweet drink, particularly one used as a vehicle for medicine. The word itself is derived from Spanish and Spanish Arabic.
Dude, I don't know about you, but I hate a mint julep.
I'm not a big mixed drink person anyways. Like, I'll drink like margaritas and stuff, but you struggling?
Nah, dude, gravity over here holding the mic down, man. It ain't going nowhere though. Yeah, we good.
So the mint julep is from the South, although not necessarily from Kentucky. The earliest known mention is from 1770 in a satirical play by Robert Munford. In 1793, Harry Tolman described mint julep as a tumbler of rum and water well sweetened with a slip of mint in it.
Dude, it tastes like toothpaste. Like, who, like...
I mean, if you're going to brush your teeth, it might as well be with a mint julep.
No, like...
No, it probably does not help. Man. Don't listen to that. I did find it interesting that Senator Henry Clay of Kentucky introduced the drink to Washington, D.C. He was a senator from the 1800s. He even ran for president unsuccessfully in 1824, 1832, and 1844.
Because the mint julep, dude. Like, he was, they brought that in. They were like, dude, we cannot have this guy running this country. Like, he is...
What made you think of bringing that? Of all the things you could have brought from the South, like the barbecue or anything else.
Well, and like the state that's known for bourbon, like in drinks, like how is that going to be the Derby drink? Like, you got to
talk to the Derby on that one, because it's not like it's a state thing. In fact, by 1820, the julep was a legacy in Virginia and had been adopted as an item of local identity. So.
Keep that over there, Virginia, dude. We don't want that.
It's already the Derby. It's been the Derby drink since 1938, my friend.
And
that can't erase history.
We can try.
We can try.
Jack Daniels, that's the drink of the Derby starting now. Like, I'm down.
Oh, man. So it's actually kind of funny, because even though... So the early times mint julep cocktail has been designated the official mint julep of the Kentucky Derby. That's early times, but apparently early times, it's a Kentucky whiskey. It's not even bourbon. So again, I don't know why you would do that either. Beginning in 2015, Old Forester is now the official drink of the Kentucky Derby. So at least they switched it to actual bourbon.
Okay, so it's like bourbon mint?
It's real, yeah, it's bourbon and mint, and where's it at?
Still tastes like toothpaste.
primarily bourbon, sugar, water, crushed or shaved iced, and fresh mint. So just a sugar, water, bourbon, and mint.
I mean, it sounds kind of fancy, I guess.
You got to be a mint fan, I guess. I'm not really. Like, to your point, the only time I want something minty is either in toothpaste or like gum. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, no, officer, I'm not drunk. I just brushed my teeth.
So something I found interesting is since 2006, Churchill Downs has also served an extra premium custom-made mint julep at a cost of $1,000 each. So something we don't even want to drink at all. Can you imagine paying $1,000 for it?
You ain't going to find that on the bottom shelf, dude. You're going to like break your neck looking up for that one. I'm good.
Says they're served in gold-plated cups with silver straws and were made from Woodford Reserve bourbon. Mint imported from Ireland. Why? I mean, I'm cool with my Irish brethren. You know,
like a discount or something?
Spring water ice cubes from the Bavarian Alps.
I think they just made that up. That isn't even a thing.
And sugar from Australia. So I'm pretty sure they just found the most expensive mint ice cubes and sugar that could be imported. That's what really happened. The proceeds were used to support charitable causes dedicated to retired racehorses. So, I mean, at least there's that. But I still don't think I want to pay $1,000 for a mint julep, even if I could.
I'm not an alcoholic. I'm just supporting dying horses, man. Like, I'm doing my part.
So, in May 2008, Churchill Downs unveiled the world's largest mint julep glass. And they commissioned a group to fabricate the 6-foot-tall glass, if the mint sprig is included. It was even constructed from FDA food-grade acrylic, heated and molded into the shape of an official 2008 Derby glass. Capacity of 206 gallons. It distributed the early times mint juleps at the Derby with an elaborate pumping system concealed within the stir straw.
I'm still stuck on the food grade acrylic.
Well, because they were serving out of it.
Well, that just sounds like an oxymoron. I don't know, like, what point acrylic can be like food grade. Like,
I don't know, man. Apparently, it is. Anyways, I thought it was pretty interesting. Starting with, you know, considering it's the official drink of the Kentucky Derby, I think I found some of that fascinating. But anyways, back to our Courier Journal article. Shout out Courier Journal.
Good people.
So they quoted Peggy No Stevens, entertainment and etiquette professional and co-author of Which Fork Do I Use With My Bourbon? And she said, Kentucky Derby Week entertaining is all about celebrating Southern hospitality. Holy cow.
Syllables, man. Syllables.
There was a lot of them. Friends, family, horse racing, and of course, the mint julep. Stevens told the Courier-Journal, with some pre-planning and creativity, it's easy to throw a party with Derby flair and still enjoy your own party, because hosting is not always the easiest thing. So they, once they actually start getting into details, they shout out a couple local decoration or stores to buy decorations from, first being Caulfield's Novelty. We're pretty big fans of Caulfield's, especially around Halloween. They do a lot.
Yeah, and, yeah, they're good people too.
We actually have an episode about it, kind of the history of Caulfield's, because they've been here for more than 100 years now. Pretty wild. The guy who started Caulfield's I can't remember what kind of business it was now, but I know he started doing the novelty stuff as just a little side business while people were waiting.
What was it?
Gonna have to go back and watch our own show,
right?
Anyways, there's also a Taste of Kentucky, which is a Middletown gift shop on Shelbyville Road. So if you're looking for Derby decorations, those would be the place to check out. They also list some good ways to decorate the table for a Derby party. But let's see. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. What food should I serve at my Kentucky Derby party? So Kentucky staples such as country ham, fresh local fruits and vegetables, and Benedictine spread, which is made with cucumbers and cream cheese, which can be served as a dip or in cucumber sandwiches. I've heard of that, but it really doesn't sound all that appealing to me. I mean, I like cucumbers, like, but I don't think I would want that. I'm not a big cream cheese fan, though. Other than
the country ham, none of that sounds too Kentucky. I don't
know. Right. Yeah, my grandma used to make a country ham every year for Christmas. So we had lots of country ham in my family.
Yeah, those are always true.
Cheese, grits, country ham sandwiches, beef tenderloin, and corn pudding are Kentucky Derby Day staples. That can be found in a cookbook mentioned up here. Goodness, where's that? Just check out the Courier Journal article if you want to.
That's find out the name of Peggy that. Peggy did it. Yeah. Peggy, no.
So before going too far, since it didn't mention it, I mean, it somewhere down here it kind of mentions a bourbon based pie and everything, but yeah, bourbon chocolate pecan pie. But you can't really talk about the Derby without talking about Derby pie, right? Which I guess it's kind of close. But it's a chocolate and walnut open-faced custard pie baked in a pie shell. It was originally created in the Melrose Inn of Prospect, Kentucky. So, not too far. By George Kern, with the help of his parents, Walter and Leodra. It is often associated with the Kentucky Derby. Created in 1954 as a specialty pastry, the restaurant's owners and Derby pie creators consistently research the optimal recipe for their creation. So it's just been kind of going since then. And the name Derby Pie is actually a registered trademark of Kern's Kitchen, which registered the name in 1968. So I guess that's why it just calls it like a bourbon pie, because the name is trademarked. But the company uses the name in the form Derby-Pie in official literature and advertisements. But the says the makers of similar pies have had to use a different name, such as Pegasus Pie, reference to the Pegasus Parade, and May Day Pie, in reference to the first Saturday in May, the day of the Kentucky Derby. So, lots of people have made it. But yeah, it's pretty known. I mean, a lot of people talk about it around the Derby. Again, it's a Derby staple that I'm not a big fan of.
So you're not going to eat your Derby pie with your mint julep this year, bro?
I'm not. Yes. I'm definitely not. Just give me some old-fashioned apple pie or something, and I can get down, but no.
Man, what they need down there is just like an Indy's truck and a Spinelli's truck, and they're good to go.
Right. Exactly. Dude, Indy's. Now I want Indy's.
Man, a truck, dude. Do they have Indy's trucks?
No, but they should.
Right.
Like, I don't know if, like, I mean, I'm sure you can, of course you can deep fry on trucks, but
yeah,
that sounds like a grease fire waiting to happen, trying to fry all that chicken. And those fryers are big, too, those pressure fryers that they use. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, they be cooking it. I mean, like, they got a lot of customers. They got to cook a lot of chicken.
They it's good chicken. Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't know if you'd even have room for all the equipment you would need. You'd need like a big truck. You need several industrial fryers. Anyways, so back to the cocktails and stuff, I did want to point out that the mint julep isn't the only official cocktail of the Kentucky Derby. There's also the official drink for the Kentucky Oaks is the Finlandia Oaks Lily. Says this bright and tart pink hued cocktail is inspired by the colors in the Stargazer Lily. Made with Finlandia vodka, sweet and sour mix, triple sec, and cranberry juice. And then there is the Herradura Horseshoe Margarita. So it's a fresh and tangy twist on the classic margarita made with Herradura. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Silver tequila, fresh lime juice, agave nectar, and a splash of orange juice. So, a couple other official options if you're going to be checking out the Derby. And then, let's see. This back to the Courier Journal article, it also mentions party games, like a bourbon tasting, I think. Yeah, bourbon tasting wheel. And tasting games. So you're trying to host a party. There's some several ideas here, several things to check out. Get some country ham, you know, forget the mint juleps and the derby pie, in my opinion.
Agreed.
The last thing we wanted to touch on as far as Kentucky Derby culture, you can't talk about the Derby without talking about Derby hats. And so, if you just look up Derby hats, they all literally say Kentucky Derby hats or fascinators. There's tons of options. Tons of hat companies make Derby hats specifically. I thought it was funny because when I looked up Derby hat history, I found out that it's just a basic bowler hat by the name, you know, just Derby hat. In the United States, at least, it's called a Derby hat. The bowler hat is originally, it was a popular style in Britain, Ireland, and American working classes. So, when we want to talk history of the actual Kentucky Derby hats, it gets a little more interesting. And it started out in the early days of the Derby. It was more about practicality. Since the Derby was held in May, the Kentucky sun could be quite hot, so attendees needed to protect themselves from the sun's rays with wide-brimmed functional hats. But as the years went on, it kind of became more of a social statement. You know, in the early 20th century, women started wearing hats as a way to showcase their status and social standing. So the bigger, the better. Women would wear hats adorned with feathers, flowers, ribbons, and even live birds like canaries and finches to make a statement. It's kind of wild. Fast forward.
These chicks are just getting shit on by birds just to like, just for attention or something, but whatever.
Just to show off their status, man. Sounds more like a nightmare to deal with, but hey. Fast forward to the 1960s and television had become a game changer. The Derby was now being televised and broadcast nationally, giving women a chance to be seen on camera. So it started becoming more of a fashion statement and just a trend over the years. And the whole event is really a fashion spectacle. That's why they have, you know, outside of, you know, Millionaire's Road, they have the whole red carpet and everything, you know, because of the fashion. And of course, people going to Millionaire's Row, they pretty much always look fashionable when they go to something like that anyway. So it's become quite the fashion center of Kentucky, at least once a year. And then with like the rise of Instagram and TikTok and everything, you see tons of reels and, you know, TikTok videos and everything about, you know, various Derby hats. Some people make their own hats. Some people buy their hats. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. And
that reminds me, like, back in, like, elementary school. I'm sure other schools don't do this, but here in Kentucky, specifically, definitely Louisville, you would make your own, like, little hats out, like Derby hats out of like paper plates and things like that every yeah. year. Like I remember you would have a make a horse out of like a brown paper bag, and then it's supposed to be like the winning horse or whatever, whichever one you was like
resilience.
Yeah, no, it's never ending.
You can't even remember his name.
What's his name?
Endlessly,
never ending, endlessly. Gonna win it, man.
Oh man. Oh. Another name, I guess, or like a type of hat that comes out is something called fascinators, which, so classic Derby hats feature wide brims, bold colors, and floral accents. Fascinators are smaller, more intricate headpieces and are gaining popularity among the younger generation. They offer feature unique shapes, feathers, beads, and other unconventional materials.
That's that Jackie Kennedy. Real, I think that's what she had. R.I.P.
Oh, anyways, that's all there really is to say about the Derby hats.
He trying to change the subject before I make a JFK reference, wasn't you? It's cool.
It's too late now. So, yeah, there really is a whole culture around the Kentucky Derby, from food to drinks and hats and fashion, but also an excuse to get together with family and, you know, friends and throw a party. So
yeah, it's not all druggy horses and gambling addiction. There's some like
right
joy with the derby.
Yeah, it's definitely a party though. It's always a party. And it's a very busy time of year for the city. So with that, that's all that I have. You got anything else to add?
Nah, Ever Ending's gonna win.
If it was up to Jack to remember the horse's name, Resilience would definitely win.
Because I know that's not the horse. That's not the horse is gonna win though. It's gonna be Ever Ending.
Ever Ending, you're right, because his career is everly gonna end as soon as he tries to run the Derby and loses.
Never Ending Story 2024. You got this.
With that, we will catch y'all tomorrow.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Interest of the greater good. We need to smoke a joint and calm down.
I'm great. And if you keep talking, Dad, I'm going to cut it to five.